Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Never give up. Think positive. This is what we've been told to do much of our lives, but what if quitting could be a good thing? Abandoning life's bad habits, like smoking or drinking, is understandably a smart choice, but what about letting go of other less obvious pursuits, like jobs and relationships? Americans today are hardwired to persist, fearful of being labeled quitters, even when the ultimate goal is impossible to reach, and even when the path to achieving that objective is more harmful than helpful. All of this is discussed in the new book, Mastering the Art of Quitting, Why We Fear It and Why We Shouldn't in Life, Love, and Work. And it's a great pleasure to welcome the co-author of the book, Peg Streep, to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. Peg Streep is an author and co-author of many books, as well as being a blogger at psychologytoday.com. What got you on the path of looking into quitting?
It's actually an interesting story. It started really as an inquiry. I found among my friends and acquaintances so many people who had ostensibly left something, a relationship, a job, a career path. But the thing that I really noticed was that even though they'd left, they talked about nothing else. And it happens all the time where someone, you know, survives the breakup of a long-term relationship, is looking forward to starting over, goes out on a first date, and what does he or she talk about? His or her ex. And, of course, people do that as well. Even everyone on the planet knows never in an interview discuss your old workplace or boss in negative terms.
Sure.
And people go to their first interview after having left a job behind, and what do they talk about?
Yeah.
Their old boss. So the kernel for the book really came out of the question, why? Why do people do that? Why do they leave people and places and situations behind and somehow take those people, places, and situations with them? So that's where it started.
You talk in the book about the psychology of persistence. You even have a persistence profile in here. But this whole idea of us thinking that maybe things will ultimately work out for the best and you don't want to get off course and we don't want to think of starting a new life at this stage of at this age or whatever the case may be, that we are, as you point out, hardwired to be persistent and to keep going in many pursuits.
Absolutely. Again, we can thank our ancestors and evolution for that. Once upon a time, most of the challenges in life were physical. So it is true enough in physical pursuits, even today, or sports, or test taking, that if you keep honing your skills just a little bit and you persist, the likelihood is that you will, in fact, sink that putt or ace that exam. The problem is, of course, that the challenges we face in modern life are much more varied. So we've got this brain that has persistence as a default setting. And in addition, we've inherited all these cognitive biases, ways of thinking about things that also contribute to our easily getting stuck. I mean, one of them is called the sunk cost fallacy. And if you think about it for a second, we all do this. You need to leave a place, a thing, or sell your car. Immediately you start thinking about the time, the money, the energy you have invested in whatever this is, your job, your relationship, or the car. And you say, yikes, if I leave, all of that investment is gone. So I won't leave. Now, of course, this makes no sense. If you've put $2,000 into a clunker and it remains a clunker, the last thing you want to do is put another $200 into it. But we do it all the time, both literally and metaphorically. And so our brain is saying, think investment, but in fact, what we need to do individually and say is say to ourselves, wait a minute, I can't get those 5 years back. I can't get the $2,000 back that's in the car. But what I can do is move forward and imagine buying a better car, being in a better relationship 2 years from now. So it's really just a question of confronting so many of these hardwired ways that we have of thinking about things and situations that keep us standing in place.
In that confronting, you make a really interesting point in the book, which is that we often think of quitting as the easy way out. Well, that's the easy way out. But then when we actually get down to the quitting, we realize we come up with a million reasons of why it isn't easy and why we shouldn't do it. And actually, as you say, the act of disengagement can be difficult.
It's very hard. Again, human beings are a conservative lot, and I mean that not politically. We don't like the unknown. We don't particularly like change. So when we think about moving, all of us will think about the possible downside to leaving. At the same time, our brains will be optimistic about the possible upside to staying. That is, maybe my boss will start respecting me. Maybe our relationship will get closer. On the one hand, you have this, desire to stay put, this fear of the unknown, fear of the stress and the tension of letting go of something, and then all these other ways of looking at things that basically, leave you standing still.
Is it safe to say that all of these things are created equal in the sense of life and love and work? Meaning that when we talk about quitting, there's the same skill set involved in leaving our spouse than there is in leaving our job.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I don't think that there's any question about the fact that, particularly if you have children, that the emotional turmoil of leaving a long-term and complicated relationship is going to be much, much greater than leaving a job. It's not quite the same. But in terms of the problems that you will face, the skill set that you need, yes, quitting masterfully in any area of life. It basically requires the same kind of process, the same kind of self-examination, same kind of discipline. And so, yes, once you really learn how to do it, it's a skill set that can be used basically in all these different areas.
Okay, so with that said, in a nutshell, what does it take to quit masterfully?
Well, let's start with what you shouldn't be doing.
Okay.
The worst kind of quitting is the emotionally fueled, I'm out of here, the straw that broke the camel's back moment. That's the worst. Most people, because of the onus on quitting, because of their own ambivalence about leaving, find themselves in a situation where they're so emotionally roused that they literally storm out that door. And both in relationships and in terms of jobs and career, nothing could be worse. For one thing, you burn bridges. But for another, and this is much more important, you go through that door laden with all of this baggage, emotional baggage. Cognitive baggage. I mean, what you end up doing, having stormed out the door, is you storm out the door with all this baggage and, by the way, clueless about where you're going next. So that's the bad kind of quitting. And it's a kind of quitting that we're all susceptible to because supposedly quitting is a bad thing, right? So you're persisting, and you get so frustrated that the moment comes and you simply explode. What you want to do instead of slamming that door and storming through it is to think about not only where you are, but where it is that you want to go. You have to be, in addition to that, self-aware. You really need to sit down with yourself and ask yourself really pertinent and important questions. Am I being overly optimistic about what my goals are? How do I react to setbacks? Am I prepared if there are obstacles in the way of reaching my next goal? Am I prepared to deal with them? You really also need to ask yourself about your own emotional skill set. Are you easily flooded by feeling? Do you have trouble managing your feelings? And then your thoughts. Do you tend to second-guess yourself all the time? Are you somebody who paces at 3 a.m.? All of these questions, really knowing where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are, factor into how well you're going to be able to manage the stress of the transition of leaving one thing, gearing yourself up to go somewhere else, and then achieving whatever that next goal is. I mean, the point is, quitting is not a one-step thing. It's a process. Yeah. So when you, in psychological terms, you disengage from one thing, but that process isn't over until you've re-engaged with something else. So it's really, it's not like walking through a door and slamming it at all. It's a much lengthier process, and it requires a lot of self-examination.
And it is important to have support as well, right? To have people around you that are supporting this decision that you've made to disengage.
For some people, yes. For other people, not as much. I mean, it really depends. The playing field is not exactly level, by the way. Some people are, in fact, more skilled at letting go successfully than others. In psychological terms, the people who are motivated by approach goals tend to be more effective, even without support, at leaving successfully and then reengaging. They're people who tend to see the world as a series of mountains to be climbed.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty self-confident, but they're also not overly optimistic. They're pretty realistic about their skill set. And they also deal, and this is an important part, they deal with setbacks really well. In other words, they look at that mountain and they say, whoa, that's a tall mountain there. And I'm probably going to slip and slide. In fact, I may even have to turn back at some point. And that's okay, because if I have to turn back, then there's always plan B. Now, those are the approach people. Then there are people who are motivated largely by avoidance. And some of that is by temperament, and some of it is by upbringing, and there are lots of us. And we tend to see the world really as a horizon of mistakes to be avoided. We're cautious by nature. We tend to stay the path, and we need a lot of support, and we're always reading cues because we're worried about making mistakes. For those people, quitting is much harder. Because, again, every time you leave something familiar and you go out for something new that you haven't tried before, there are risks. There is the possibility that you will slip, that you will slide, or even fall on your face. And you have to be prepared for that. The avoidants have a lot of trouble with that. And they do need a lot of support.
Well, the name of the book is Quitting, Why We Fear It and Why We Shouldn't in Life, Love, and Work. It is published by DeCapo. Peg Streep, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
And to you, thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Quitting, Why We Fear It and Why We Shouldn't in Life, Love, and Work. It's published by DeCapo, written by Peg Streep and Alan Bernstein. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.